Chapter 28, King Hezekiah Repairs the Damage. Hezekiah came to the throne determined to save Judah from the fate that was overtaking the northern kingdom. The prophets offered no halfway measures. Only by decided reformation could the threatened judgments be averted. No sooner had he ascended the throne than he began to plan and execute. He first turned to the restoration of the temple services and solicited the cooperation of priests and Levites who had remained true. "Our fathers have trespassed," he confessed, "and done that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord our God, and have forsaken him. Now it is in mine heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel, that his fierce wrath may turn away from us." The king reviewed the situation, the closed temple and the cessation of services, idolatry practiced in the streets of the city and throughout the kingdom, the apostasy of multitudes who might have remained true had the leaders set a right example, and the decline of the kingdom and loss of prestige in the estimation of surrounding nations. Soon the northern kingdom would fall completely into the hands of the Assyrians and be ruined, and this fate would befall Judah as well, unless God should work mightily through chosen representatives. Hezekiah appealed to the priests to unite with him in bringing about reform. "Be not now negligent," he exhorted them, "for the Lord hath chosen you to stand before him, to serve him. Sanctify now yourselves, and sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers." The priests began at once, enlisting the cooperation of others. They engaged heartily in cleansing and sanctifying the temple. Within a remarkably short time they were able to report their task completed. The temple doors had been repaired and thrown open, the sacred vessels had been assembled and put in place, and all was in readiness for the re-establishment of the sanctuary services. In the first service held, the rulers of the city united with King Hezekiah and the priests in seeking forgiveness for the sins of the nation. Upon the altar were placed sin offerings to make an atonement for all Israel. Once more the temple courts resounded with praise. The songs of David and Asaph were sung with joy, as the worshippers realized that they were being delivered from the bondage of sin and apostasy. Hezekiah and all the people rejoiced because of what God had done for the people, for the thing came about suddenly. RSV. God had prepared the hearts of the chief men of Judah to lead out in a decided reformatory movement, that the apostasy might be stayed. His messages had been rejected by the kingdom of Israel, but in Judah there remained a good remnant, and to these the prophets continued to appeal. Hear Isaiah urging, "Turn ye unto him from whom the children of Israel have deeply revolted." Hear Micah declaring with confidence, "I will bear the indignation of the Lord, because I have sinned against him, until he plead my cause, and execute judgment for me, he will bring me forth to the light, I shall behold his righteousness." These and like messages had brought hope to many in the dark years when the temple doors remained closed, and now, as the leaders began a reform, a multitude of the people, weary of the thraldom of sin, were ready to respond. Those who sought forgiveness had wonderful encouragement offered in Scripture. "You will return to the Lord," Moses had said, "and obey his voice, for the Lord your God is a merciful God, he will not fail you or destroy you or forget the covenant with your fathers which he swore to them." RSV. And at the dedication of the temple Solomon had prayed, "When thy people Israel be smitten down before the enemy, because they have sinned against thee, and shall turn again to thee, and confess thy name, and pray, and make supplication unto thee in this house, then hear thou in heaven, and forgive the sin of thy people Israel." By night the Lord had appeared to Solomon to tell him that mercy would be shown those who should worship there, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. These promises met abundant fulfillment during the Reformation under Hezekiah. Celebrating the Passover. In his zeal to make the temple services a real blessing, Hezekiah determined to gather the Israelites together for the Passover feast. For many years the Passover had not been observed as a national festival. The division of the kingdom after Solomon's reign had made this seem impracticable. But the stirring messages of the prophets were having their effect. By royal couriers, the invitation to the Passover at Jerusalem was heralded from city to city through the country of Ephraim and Manasseh, even up to Zebulun. The bearers of the invitation were usually repulsed, nevertheless some humbled themselves, and came to Jerusalem. In Judah the response was very general, for God gave them one heart to do the commandment of the king and of the princes, a command in accord with the will of God as revealed through his prophets. The desecrated streets of the city were cleared of the idolatrous shrines placed there during the reign of Ahaz. The Passover was observed, and the week was spent by the people in offering peace offerings and in learning what God would have them do. Those who had prepared their hearts to seek God found pardon. A great gladness possessed the multitude. The Levites and the priests praised the Lord day by day, singing with loud instruments. All were united in their desire to praise Him. The 7 days allotted to the feast passed all too quickly, and the worshippers determined to spend another 7 days in learning more fully the way of the Lord. The teaching priests continued their instruction from the book of the law. Daily the people assembled to offer praise and thanksgiving, and as the great meeting drew to a close, it was evident that God had wrought marvelously in the conversion of backsliding Judah. There was great joy in Jerusalem, for since the time of Solomon the son of David king of Israel there was not the like in Jerusalem. The Reformation spreads. The time had come for the worshippers to return to their homes. God had accepted those who with broken hearts had confessed their sins and with resolute purpose had turned to Him for forgiveness and help. There now remained an important work in which those who were returning to their homes must take part, and the accomplishment of this work bore evidence to the genuineness of the Reformation. Now when all this was finished, all Israel who were present went out to the cities of Judah and broke in pieces the pillars and hewed down the Asherim and broke down the high places and the altars throughout all Judah and Benjamin, and in Ephraim and Manasseh, until they had destroyed them all. Then all the people of Israel returned to their cities, every man to his possession. RSV. Throughout all Judah the king wrought that which was good and right and truth before the Lord his God. And in every work that he began, he did it with all his heart, and prospered. The success of the Assyrians in scattering the remnant of the 10 tribes among the nations was leading many to question the power of the God of the Hebrews. Emboldened by their successes, the Ninevites had long since set aside the message of Jonah and had become defiant in their opposition to heaven. A few years after the fall of Samaria, the victorious armies reappeared in Palestine, directing their forces against the fenced cities of Judah, but they withdrew for a season because of difficulties in other portions of their realm. Not until near the close of Hezekiah's reign was it to be demonstrated before the world whether the gods of the heathen were finally to prevail.